following program is a collection of stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. All right. We are rolling with these this year. I feel like back to it. Feel like I'm Stella. Got my mojo back. I got my groove back. So I'm excited. Excited about it. Hope you guys are too. The DetailSolutionsPodcast.com. That is the website to find all of things Detail Solutions Podcast related. You can find links on where to listen to us, Apple, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram. We also have our preferred vendor page, wonderful ads partners. That's going to have a bio about their company with a link that will take you right to them. Make it easy for you. It's also going to have a coupon code or mentioned that when you do go on their website or order from them to use a code or to mention the Detail Solutions Podcast to save some money. And then we have the Drip Shop. The Drip Shop does have the podcast or the podcast logo t-shirt. It also has the Concaster shirts. And I'm debating on putting up a Red Delight t-shirt. I don't know if you guys would be interested in that. Maybe when the wax comes out, maybe I'll do a Red Delight t-shirt. See how that goes. YouTube. I'm still working on that. So give me some time. The new YouTube channel is going to be the Detail Solutions Podcast and the number one. So if you were following along in the old, YouTube channel, please go follow this one. There's like three videos up there so far right now, but I'm playing around with the Opus Clip stuff to make some cool shorts. So I want to start adding those to it as well as the last couple of videos. And then TikTok, the Detail Solutions Pod. And I have been putting up the Opus clips that I made from Esme. Had Ken Mercer on the last episode from Stark Yacht Care. So I will start uploading some of those clips and get those going before this episode comes out. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email me at the Detail Solutions Podcast at gmail.com. I need to be better at looking at that. But just shoot me an email. You can message me on Facebook. You can message me on Instagram, whatever. Makes my life easier. I appreciate it. May 3rd through the 5th, if you want to come out and have a grand old time in Marietta, Georgia, I highly recommend coming to the Angel Wax Chess Car training event that's being held at Red's. You're going to learn some things from Noxie, some sanding things and some correction things. Rain's going to train everybody on Angel Wax coatings and their stuff. And then I'm just going to be there hanging out, causing trouble, recording some stuff, doing podcasts, whatnot, just having a good time. So I highly recommend if you're looking for a training event to go to coming up here in the next couple of months, that's the one to do. All right. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening. or watching or any of that fun stuff, please go leave a 5-star review on Spotify. On Apple, you can also write a review. That would be cool. I like seeing those. Those pop up every now and then. But yeah, tonight's guest is Mr. Grant Menard. So let's jump into a commercial break and come back and talk to Grant. He doesn't like talking about himself, but we're going to have some fun with that. We'll be right back. Bond is a leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Audubon's window tent. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Audubon's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Audubon's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AudubonFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection. And we're back with Mr. Grant Menard. How you doing, buddy?
Yo, good, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's finally nice to meet you, man. You know, I feel like we should have bumped into each other at some point by now, but I don't know. Just hasn't worked that way. So
I'm a low-key guy, dude. You know, I like to hide behind the curtain.
So, yeah.
No, but you're not wrong. We've been a lot of the same places, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's good, man. So how you been? Everything good?
Everything's cranking? Great. Yeah, cranking out. Yep.
You just said you're home for the first time in a weekend in how many months or how many weeks?
Oh man, it's gotta be 6 months, it seems like. Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah. Right. Well, I started earlier this year with Michael Evans over at Urable. So he called me late last year and offered me full time. So
nice. Just
that rolled in, and then I got my first kid on the way coming in June. So I'm trying to front load the whole first half of this year. Yeah. So I can, once a kid gets here, I kind of take off the second half of the year.
Yeah. Enjoy that, man. Mine's 14 now and she's a pain in the ass. So
enjoy. I hear that from I think every single dad that I talk to, and that's why most dads have beer bellies, because
yeah,
children.
Pretty much. Yeah. So listen, man, I want to know how, where, when, why you got into detailing.
Yeah. It goes back to when I was in the garage with my dad. So he had his Mercedes S500 and his Harley Road King that I still own to this day. And that going back to, geez, when I was a child. I mean, I remember going out there with my dad, and at the time it was the Dawn dish soap in the 5-gallon bucket with my mom's shower towel. But he would detail that Harley before it would leave. And then after he got back from every ride, he would detail it again. And I'd be out there with him. So that's kind of where I was always trying to see, you know, where my love came from. It was definitely that with the automobiles, but my mom keeps her house spotless. So I got in, you know, graduate, or was at Penn State. And actually before that, I was working my high school job, which is over at a local pharmacy. And I bought my first Mustang. So it's the second year of college. This was 2012. I bought my first Mustang, which I still have today, built the whole company off that. And I just detailed on the side, just doing what every dude does on the weekends, taking the thing out, waxing it up, cleaning it up. And a lady at the local post office walked down and said, "Hey, who cleans your car?" And I said, "Oh, I do." She goes, "Is there any way you clean my husband's? You know, I want to give it to him for his birthday present." It's a Pontiac Vibe, piece of crap. Alex's thing was smoked in, I think, every single day for about 15 years. It was faded. I mean, there was, yeah. So my buddies, it was that she asked me, and I was like, "Yeah, of course I could do it. I could do it this weekend because I'm working. I could come on Saturday and do it." So my two buddies convinced me to go out drinking with them the night before. And I said, "I'll drink with you, but you got to help me the next day." They were passed out in my mom's grass and watching me the whole time. But we did that Pontiac Vibe, and that's kind of how it did. And she paid me $200 or whatever it was at the time. Could have been $10. Yeah. And that's kind of how I got into the detailing world. So much like most of us, you know, I call it the industry of rejects. None of us really, you know, wanted to be detailers growing up. We kind of just fell into it.
Yeah.
And I'm that guy. So that's how I started detailing, and then graduated Penn State, got in the pharmaceutical industry, and loved that job so much. I was in the managed care space. Don't need to get into that. It's kind of boring, but love that job. But at night I would come home and detail, and I would do that, you know, just like everybody, grind till 2 o'clock in the morning, sleep 4 to 6 hours, thinking that was sexy. Wake up the next day, do my farmer job, come home in detail. And one day I went to a networking event, or a men's group that I was part of, entrepreneur group in San Francisco, and realized I just wasn't aligned with the ethics of pharma, but I was really aligned with cars and with what I was doing on the entrepreneurship side. So quit that job and jumped into detailing and haven't looked back since.
Dude, that's awesome. So San Francisco, you were at that event, San Francisco, that was just an event at San Francisco, or were you out there at the time?
No, I was out there at the time. Well, no, I was out there for the event. Yeah, so it was a men's group called Epic Impact. I was allowed in it because my old job, it was kind of it was for entrepreneurs that were successful. So you had to make at least 100 grand a year. You had to be your own business owner. There's a lot of Cutco. You know those Cutco knives that people sell?
Yep.
So that was a ton of the dudes that were in the group were Cutco salesmen. Killing it. Killing it. Like door to door. Like I learned so much from them. Door to door, gifting, like selling $30 knives, but making 60% margins on it. I was like, God damn. And these dudes are, you know, doing $300,000-$500,000 a year in revenue. You do the math, you make 60% of that. You're doing damn well. Wow. So I was learning a lot, but that's how I got into it. And so they allowed me in because I kind of, my old job was as if it was my own.
I know you're from the Pennsylvania area and obviously you said you went to Penn State. So I didn't know if you had like moved out to California or whatever, and then moved back. So that's why. So, I mean, starting Menards, I mean, you kind of grew that to, you know, be something that was pretty successful and everything. Was that a lot of, or was a lot of that attributed to, you know, all that stuff you learned from the Cutco sales guy, knives guys or the or whatever? Because
that's a great question. Yeah.
You are, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, this is the first time we're kind of crossing paths, but, you know, it's not the first time I've heard about you, obviously, you know, and I mean, you are kind of known in the industry for, you know, helping people out business wise and things like that.
Yeah. And the Cutco guys definitely helped me a lot with the referral side of it. I mean, I built my whole business off of referrals. We ran ads for a very short amount of time, and there's a reason behind that. That was very short. Because I give every bit of our dollars that come in, we dedicate that back to the customer. I did that for years. So when I'm looking at, you know, the success of the company, referring is a big part of it. And that comes down to the Cutco guys. Door knocking, for sure. Like actually walking up to somebody. I would go to people's neighborhoods on the weekend when I was trying to build this company out, especially once I got into our first shop and I had no choice but to fill it because now I had expenses. I would walk up, I'll drive through the super affluent neighborhoods and see what dad, especially Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, what are dads doing? They're cleaning their cars.
Yeah.
So I would drive up and I would pretend like they're Corvette C5 was the sexiest car I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so awesome. I would just pull up in my, I was driving my Mustang at the time. So, you know, I'd be like, oh, I bet you, you know, that thing would kick my ass. And so but I would just, it would be a very inviting, I wasn't coming up being like, oh, I'm trying to sell you on details. I'd become friends, but I was door knocking at that point. Like I would wait until or I would look at landscaping that was perfect. And if anybody has a house and they have perfect landscaping and their lawn has nice lines in it, you know that they probably take care of their cars. And if they don't, then it definitely bothers them. I mean, you could be that solution for them. So I would write handwritten notes. Hey, I love your lawn. I saw you had a Marine flag on your front. You know, I'm a big supporter of the Marines. And or, hey, I saw you had a Penn State flag. Like, let's go Nittany Lions or whatever it was. I was just looking for little reeds without their neighborhood or within their house. So, but Cutco was definitely part of that, too. But the biggest part of the success of the team, like building, I have an addiction to hiring and I hire good and we hire well. So when I was growing the business, I didn't take a paycheck for the first 3 years. Like just because I had a savings from the pharma side, I was giving it all back to my team. So when jobs came in and I wasn't working on them, I was just hiring really good people, really solid people that were able to do the jobs for us.
No, that's awesome. When you would go into these neighborhoods and approach people like that and everything, did you ever kind of get any pushback with it, you know, because especially you kind of sounds like the neighborhoods you're kind of talking about, they're usually kind of like a no soliciting, you know, kind of neighborhood. So, you know, and especially if you didn't live in that neighborhood and you're just cruising it or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get any kind of pushback with that? And like, how did you overcome it? Or,
I mean, there's never a person that kicked me off their lawn, but you could tell. I'm big on body language and psychology, so I could tell when the body language is super guarded or when somebody really didn't want you to be there. My goal was to, you know, because I studied it pretty aggressively, my goal was to see, it was a challenge for me to see, can I make this person open up and feel comfortable with me here? So I saw more as a challenge than anything else. But I wouldn't be wearing any Menard gear. Like I wouldn't be walking up in a Menard detailing shirt with a Menard detailing hat and a notepad. Right. Like I was going to look like a car dude that was just rolling through a neighborhood. I would walk up with a smile. So there wasn't a time I was ever kicked off property, but I would definitely fib. So to get them feeling comfortable, like, oh yeah. And this is, rings true today. I'd never start a conversation with, I want to sell you. And I don't go into any conversation being like, I want to detail your car. Every conversation is, I want to build a relationship with you. And if you're comfortable enough to know enough about me that you know that we detail, or you ask, what do I do? The minute somebody said, what do? That's why I said, oh, I detail cars. I actually detail a couple of your neighbors. That's why I was coming through the neighborhood. I wasn't detailing any of the neighbors.
Yeah. So I'd be like, oh, yeah, who? John. Side, yeah. Two John, blocks Tom, over.
Mike, yeah. Tim, you know, Chris, like the, you know, the most popular 10 names, like, yeah, on the other side of the neighborhood, you know, purple mailbox, that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's how, you know, you can build trust really, really easily. And yes, it was a fib, but it was only a fib until he said, oh, you want to detail mine, or, you know, would be interested in what we do when we talk codings and everything else. I'd be like, hey, I can, you know, you don't need to be out here every week and washing your car. It can maybe save you a week or two a month. So it was cool, though. It was really special because I was building a relationship and trust. You know, I wasn't going in like most salesmen or door knockers do, where you're knocking on the door to produce a sale. That's all you're looking for is for somebody to give you their credit card or their checkbook. That was not my intent. My intent was to at least build a big enough relationship with this person that they might know somebody that would benefit from our services and what I was doing. Right.
Yeah. And I like that you said that, you know, you were really there trying to build a relationship, because, you know, anybody that I've had on this show who has been successful, you know, that's the thing that they always say is, you know, I never talk to somebody and try to sell them. I want to build a relationship with them, you know? Yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, even I look to, you know, today, with my clients is, you know, what keeps me busy or what keeps me, you know, still in business are those clients that I built relationships with, you know, the people that, you know, knew Haley when she was, you know, four, you know, when I had just left the car wash and started this, you know, now she's 14, you know, and they're like, oh my God, she's so old now, you know? And it's, I mean, I was talking to one of my monthly clients last Friday. And, you know, we were kind of going back with like, you know, how long I've been detailing her cars for, or washing her, maintaining her cars for, or whatever. And it was like, you know, almost 8 years. And I was like, it feels like I just met her like, you know, last month or whatever, you know, I mean, like, it doesn't feel like I've been, you know, washing her stuff for 8 years or whatever, you know? And, so just kind of, it's kind of funny, like, you know, that is a true statement. Build the relationships, and that'll keep you busy. You know, I love it when some of my clients that maybe I haven't seen in a while will text me out of the blue, you know, hey man, you know, how's it going? How's the family? You know, they ask those questions first, and then it's, you know, hey, do you have time? Take a look at my new ride or get me in or something like that.
Yeah. Like, that rings so true. I mean, how many times have you also reached out to clients just to shoot the shit with them? Like, just to be like, oh dude, you know, you see that they're a Phillies fan and you're like, oh dude, you see the game last night, or an Eagles fan, or whatever it is. Right. And you're talking sports to them, or you saw a concert, you know, they're into music, and you're just reaching out to them because they're true friends. Like when you're surrounded by friends.
Yeah. I mean, I have, thankfully, I mean, you know, some of my clients are, you know, obviously car guys, and so they're into racing. So we kind of connect on a Formula One level. So, you know, sometimes it's, you know, messaging about the race that's, you know, going on, you know, the weekend or whatever, or you know, all the crazy drama that's going on or something like that. So yeah, you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
By
the way, if you hear some squeaking, that's my dog behind me.
That's all good. So when do you think, like, you kind of became that next level in a sense, right? Because again, like I said, I mean, this is our first time meeting, but it's not like I've never heard of you before. And you're always mentioned in very high regards, you know, for everybody that I've talked to. So like, what was that? Like, how did you make that change, or what happened, or what did you do that kind of, you know, took you to that next level?
Yeah, Alex, I don't think I'm at a next level. I'm just another guy that details cars just like everybody else. That's how I've always seen myself, and I always will. So I don't see myself as going to another level. I've been asked this question before, and it took me a long time to actually like figure it out. Like, what were the steps, I guess, to maybe get there? And I used to be on Instagram all the time. Like, I'm talking, like, when we built our Instagram following, I was on there for, geez, 6-8 hours a day, like filming 6-8 hours a day, doing Instagram lives. It was Instagram is how I start every single video. And that's kind of how, and that's when I started getting a following on Instagram. And then that kind of, you know, that was, Instagram's obviously in the past now. It's not top dog anymore, but that was kind of what it was at the time. So that really, that really built a following where people were reaching out to me and then messaging me. And then I was able to showcase the business. And during that time, we were at our first shop. So my mom kicked me out. I started the shop out of my mom's garage, but she kicked me out when I had like 8 Jeeps dropped off and at her front yard. I closed a Jeep dealer and they said that they had 8 cars to be done. I thought they were going to drop one at a time. Dude, they brought a double stacker to my mom's front house. And my mom ripped me a new one because they're in her garage. She goes, that's it. You're out. That was on a Thursday. So anyway, so I was in my first shop. So that was like the beginning because we started with that in video. Like we were one of the first to really start videoing for purpose within the shop, not for notoriety. Okay. Like I was never videoing for the notoriety. It was just to share stuff. So it was definitely Instagram was, I know, I spent a ton of time on there. And then when guys would reach out, like it was just like having a conversation with you right now. I was never like, oh, I'm bigger than you or I'm better than you or I know more. It was just like, hey dude, what's your problem? And I'm regarded as being a solutionist. Like my nickname at the shop is you're a solutionist. Like when I go into work, what's the problem? Here's a solution, put it to action. So people would bring to me all these problems and we come up with solutions on the spot. And it was like, oh, that's that easy. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's all you gotta do. And then they would go and put it to action. They shoot me a text or a message a day, a week, a year later, being like, dude, I implemented that and it's been awesome. So that's kind of what it was. But dude, I'm like, Alex, I'm not any different than any of us, dude. Like, I'll still go get a McDonald's double cheeseburger and, you know, I'll go and camp out and not shower for 7 days. Like, sure, I stay at nice hotels every once in a while, but I'm just a dude. Like some days I wake up and forgot to change my shirt. So no, I'm no different than any of us, you know?
No, and that's awesome, man, because I like when, you know, I talk to people that have that same kind of mentality, right? Because, you know, I mean, obviously because of this show, you know, I mean, I've gotten, you know, a little bit of notoriety, whatever you want to call it, right? And it's, you know, people come up to me and just like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm like, you know, dude, I'm not better than you. Like, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, don't, you know, you come to my shop and, you know, we'll throw down, we'll have some fun, but, you know, like, you know, don't look at me in any different kind of way, right? So I think it's cool because, you know, there are some guys out there who definitely, you know, take their pedestal everywhere they go with them, it seems like, you know. So that's cool to hear, man, because you know, I think it's definitely what, you know, you can tell the good guys in the industry by the ones that are definitely, you know, like even like you said kind of earlier, right? Like you're just low key, right? Like you're not, you know, flashy and stuff like that versus some of the people who are.
I mean, my cars are flashy. Like I wrap them in ridiculous stuff, right? So when I'm driving, I don't want to say I'm not, you know, I love marketing. My ego. Yeah, I know my ego now, so I love my ego, right? So I am flashy to a degree, but I know that I'm flashy. It's not like I'm being a douchebag relative.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did drive a douchebag, you know, Mustang to my wife to pick her up on our first date, and it was straight pipe and it was orange, and, you know, it was a quintessential douchebag move. So but with that being said, dude, like, I love human connection. I truly do. Like it's truly passionate. Like I would love to connect with as many people as possible. In the business, like I still struggle in personal and in business. Like nothing's perfect.
Right.
There's nothing about me that's perfect. I love myself and that helps me in life a lot. I truly do love myself. But I love the ups and downs that I go through every single day. I was just talking to my wife about it when I was waiting to come on here. Like I had a crazy day today and she saw the last 4 hours of it. And she's like, is this what it's like for you every day? I'm like, yeah, babe. And I was like, it's wild. Like that was a roller coaster of emotions, but I loved every bit of it. It was fun. It's fun as hell. Like,
right. You know, yeah.
So, but I'm not perfect. And that's the thing. And that's why I think I'm able to connect with so many people in our industry and just in general in life is because I'm like a judgment free zone completely. I don't judge. You could say anything and I'll love you for it no matter what. And we'll talk through it. So you know, people feel safe around me because I feel safer on them. I start with trust from the beginning. And then if someone breaks the trust, obviously there's conversation to be had, but I'm not going to, you don't have to build trust with me. Trust is there from the beginning.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. And I kind of like what you're saying about the, you know, the whole Instagram thing or whatever, because, you know, the last Q&A episode I had was with Esme, the detailing girl. And I mean, she's got a huge Instagram following. I mean, it's, you know, her, it's kind of almost her, you know, thing. You know, she, it's how she gets a lot of her business, and, you know, she talked about how you have to be dedicated to it, you know, in a sense. So kind of like what you were just saying, you know, you're spending all that time in the shop, you know, filming all this stuff for Instagram to kind of help grow. And, you know, that's one of the things that I haven't, really been able to grasp is the social media side, because I always tell people I'm a scroller, not a poster, you know?
Yeah.
And it sucks because like here I am not only trying to, I mean, I'm not, I'd like for my business to be a scotch busier, but not too much busier. But also the podcast, right? Like I'm always like, how do I get the podcast out there more and things like that. So that's where now, especially now that I'm more hands-on with a lot of the video stuff and thumbnails and things like that I've been making, it's kind of pushing me to spend more time at it and then try to get it out there. So hopefully this will make me post more on TikTok and more on Instagram and more on Facebook for it, you know, definitely for the podcast, and help to get it out there more and get it to grow.
Because yeah, it's a time suck, dude. Like it takes a ton of time, bro.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job. And that's why I hired right now. I don't do it anymore. Like I had to hire a team to do it because I can't do it anymore. It's too much time.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to get there. We're not Joe Rogan yet. You know, hopefully one day there'll be like a little producer studio thing over there. But yeah, I mean, for right now it's me just beating my head against a wall for the, you know, last 4 or 5 hours because I was trying to make this clapback video to Noxie's video that he put up today about the Angel Wax and Jess car training. And so I was trying to make a clapback video to him, and I was trying to make mine better than his. And, you know, I wanted to have, you know, like you see the, you know, you always see in the videos, people are like, oh, you know, click right here, you know, and then there's like a little thing that pops up and you can click it and it takes you to a link. But apparently nobody does that anymore. Can't do it on anything. And I'm all over the place, Google and YouTube and Facebook, asking for help on how to do it. And, you know, beating my head against the wall for 5 hours. And yeah, I'd love to be able to just be like, hey,
here you go.
Yeah. Do this for me. Make it happen. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It is. I mean, it's nice that you have it, but it's even then, dude, they don't do it the way that you want to do it. I mean, that speaks to our business in general. That's the hardest part. It's like, oh my God. But then once I get a hang of it, then it's like, oh wow, I could have never done it as good as you do it.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's, but dude, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest positions.
Yeah, it is. And trying to convey your vision to somebody and then hoping, you know, that they do it right. You know, that's tough. I mean, these thankfully I've found a really good artist on Fiverr, because these Concaster shirts that I've been doing, like when we did the Air Force one, and the Las Vegas one, you know, those were, you know, I just sent him and a whole detailed, hey, I want this, and like, you know, thankfully he was able to do it just like what I had visioned in my head with very, very little revisions. You know, the newest one was the Red Delight shirt, or the Red Delight logo with Noxie stuffing his face with a donut. And that was pretty easy, because that was a real picture of Noxie with a stuff in his face with a donut. So I was just like, can you just, you know, make this a drawing? So he did a good job.
That dude's the best.
Yeah, he's all right. Let's not hype him up too much.
All right,
I don't want to give him too much praise. listen, let's do a commercial break real quick, and then we'll come back. We'll chat some more.
I'm going to bring my dog downstairs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Detailer knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations, to provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
Oh, man, that was perfect timing.
I heard it in my headphones. I knew it was coming to hand. Come get the dog. She's crying.
Yeah. So you're pretty, or you were, I mean, I guess, pretty big with trainings and stuff like that. When did you, like, what was that mindset where you were like, okay, you know, I'm ready to train people? Because I've kind of been on the fence with that a little bit. I mean, I don't have a ton of people knocking down my doors, but I've had a few, and I'm one of those people that I feel like I understand what I'm doing and why it's working and things like that. Yep. But I don't know that I could actually convey it to somebody for them to understand it. So that's where, like, I'm kind of trying to figure out. So when were you, or where did you, you know, kind of come up with, okay, like, hey, I'm ready to start training some people and get into it? Because again, you've done it pretty well for a while.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It started with, well, Jim Hutton, I brought him on board. So we were training, like actually training the technician side of things, and meaning how to polish a car, much like what Noxie does, right? So how to polish, how to wet sand, how to apply coatings. I mean, that's how I met Jim. Jim was the trainer at G-Tech when I became accredited with them, and then I brought him on board full time. So we started holding some trainings in house. And what I noticed really fairly quickly is that everyone was coming for the technician side, but nobody was coming for the business side of things. And all I focused on was the business, because I was building a team to be the technicians and the management side. And I just wanted to be the entrepreneur and run the business. So I was giving, you know, we would do a day and a half with Jim and then a half day with me. And that half day, their eyes were, not saying there wasn't with Jim too, but the technician side of things was great. But the first question would be, well, how the hell are you going to go sell this when you get back? And they're like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, well, how many jobs do you have coming in next week? And they're like, one. Or four, or I have none. And I was like, well, guys, why the hell are you here? Like, getting trained for something that nobody knows about. So let's help you on the business side. So that's how it started. And I just got a ton of joy out of it, because that's what I love to do, Alex. I love to start businesses and grow them and get them to a point where they run for themselves, and then I'll open up another business. So when I got the detail shop to run by itself, and I started Power Moves Consulting. So the consulting side of the business, and that's where I got into coaching and consulting for businesses, not just within our industry, but across multiple industries. So that's how I got to know basically Michael Avens too, and with them and with your Ables. So I got into that side, and then I started coaching, and I just truly fell in love with it, because it was much like I do every day, which is problem solving, but I was able to do it at a much quicker rate. So we had, you know, I didn't realize, and I still don't feel that way, that our shop was able to grow, you know, extremely fast. I feel like it's still slow moving growth, right? But I was able to, you know, double, triple, quadruple people's businesses by helping them once a week. And they were happier, able to go on vacations, able to have families, able to buy houses, able to get the dream car that they always wanted. And I was in the background just smiling the whole time, being like, that's awesome. Like, cheering them on and helping them out. So that's where I just got joy out of it. So that's when I started doing the trainings. And it was truly from the point of, hey, my shop's running on its own now. If I really want to get it to that next level, I'm going to have to jump back in, you know, 40 hours a week. And I really don't want to do that anymore. I always wanted to take over the world and take over the detailing industry. And that was, you know, my young self. Not saying I'm still not young, but it was just like, I just don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm super happy and thankful where it is, and it's manageable, and we got a great team. So I'm good with this. But there was still something inside of me that said, hey, like, you need to grow something. So I just started helping other businesses do it. And that completely took care of that thought and that need that I had internally. And it's been an absolute joy doing it ever since.
How do you get people interested on the business side of it? Because like you were saying, right? I mean, like, they're there, they want to do the technician stuff. But then as soon as you start talking on the business side, right? Like, the head starts nodding down, and I get it. Like, it's not the sexy side, right? Like, the sexy side is making paint shiny, right? And, you know, slapping coatings on things like that. So how do you get people excited about wanting, you know, like, okay, like, my, you know, my eyes are wide awake. Like, I'm taking all this in to the business side versus the technician side.
It was more, I mean, much like I did the detailing business, Alex, it was referral based. So I started with one business, they told another business, they told another business. So it wasn't like I was going and trying to sell it. I've never sold a consulting client ever. They've always reached out. So I've never walked into a business.
No, but I mean, like, when somebody comes to take the class from you, like, how do you get them excited?
Oh. You mean when they're coming to training?
Yeah, on the business side. How do you get them excited to actually want to do a business training versus, you know, it's kind of like the meme, right? Where the guy's holding the girl's hand and he's looking back, and you know, that would be like the technician side of it, the fancy stuff, and then you know, the girlfriend's the business side.
Yeah. So I would do exercise at the time. It's my three columns. I'm kind of like coined for this thing now, which is kind of funny, but it's a three column, which takes no more than, you know, a half hour to basically fill out if you want to go all in. So it's three columns. So the first column is the I love you column. I absolutely love to do this. This is all I want to do within the business. I started the business because it's all I want to do. The second column is I love this. I don't mind doing it for now, but I don't want to do it forever. And the third column is the fuck you column. Fuck that. I hate doing this. I never want to do it again. Like a solid 8 out of 10, maybe even, I mean, I never took actual data down. I was just going back and thinking about it. I'd even say it's closer to 90% of the people that were coming through always had the technician side of it in column three or column two. Column one was always, I want to run a business. I want to have employees under me. I want to do the sales side of it. I want to do the marketing. I want to go get the big jobs. That was always in column number one. Column number two was maybe, you know, I want to train or I want to start, you know, doing like most of the time actually in column one and two where I want to clean the floors. Like, people love cleaning the floors and taking the trash out. It's so odd, but it's awesome, right? I mean, that's
true. So the two things I hate doing the most.
Right? Well, that's column three. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It ranges across the board. And some people are just like, hey, all I want to do is just pile. Like sometimes like I just want to polish. And I'm like, okay, we got to hire somebody to run your business. Yeah. So it was column one, two, and three. And then the column three was always over and over again. I hate polishing. You know, I don't want to polish a car. I don't want to do interiors. I don't want to detail them. And that's why I was like, all right, motherfuckers, why the hell are you here then? Because you signed up,
right?
Trained by Jim. I just happened that Jim wanted to take a break from you guys for 4 hours. And I decided to be a little businessy. So why the hell are you here? Because I ain't going to do a goddamn thing for your business. So that's what initially sparked it. And then I would always share the numbers. I'm a super open person. Like, I'm an open book. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you the answer. There's really nothing I hide at all. So I would just be open and honest with them. Hey, here's the growth of our business. And most of the time our year, so 36 to our third year in was like double, if not triple, what people have done after 5, 10, 15 years of being in the industry. So that's when people are like, okay, Grant's onto something here. And then I would share our, you know, unconventional way of running business, and it makes it really fun in the way that we treat our customers, like the experience side of things. We're an experience-based company. I see us as a Disney World, not a detailing shop. Detailing is a subcategory to it. It's like the Coca-Cola machine. We're the Coca-Cola at Disney, but you're coming in for Disney's experience, and you're going to buy Coca-Cola while you're there. But the reality is you're there for the experience that Disney provides. So I would just share this stuff. People get super intrigued about it. And then, and that was about it. I mean, it didn't really take much to get people to be like, holy crap, that's what I want. And sharing the vision too. Like, being a visionary is definitely, and when you're able to convey that and talk about it, people catch on to it. And then I would take the guys and gals in one-on-one and say, hey, what's going on? I would give them 30 minutes or an hour. And we would just jump in on that one like issue that's just been pushing them down. And we just come up with a solution and be like, oh, here it is. You know, here's what you got to do if we could figure it out. And if we couldn't figure it out, I'll call a friend that maybe had gone through it, maybe not in our industry, but a different one, and get them an actual solution for it. So I was just open with her. And they were like, holy crap. And then when I took 2 months off and completely left the shop and gave it, and I went into the national parks with my wife and my siblings for 2 months and just left the business. And I wanted to give it a true test. And once I was able to do that and I shared that, that's when people really jumped on, because that's what people want. People want freedom. And I was able to actually, for the first time ever, get complete freedom with it not being in business for that long. So that was our year three. That was year three was when I took that. So
nice.
Honestly, dude, I it's very difficult for me, Alex, to try to look back at these things. Not even difficult, but I don't really have the answer, because I never treated it like me trying to get these people to jump onto something, or like I was just sharing what we've done. And people were like, well, I want to do that. Can you help me? And I said, yeah, of course. Yeah. That'd be awesome. And then it got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm giving free advice. people aren't cat. Like the only reason we charge now, my brother Nick's now on the consulting side with me. The only reason that we charge is because people, like, you get free advice, dude, don't do a goddamn thing with it. And it hurts, it pained us because we were giving so much heart to this. So we ended up starting to charge for it. And then they actually brought some really phenomenal people on board with us that, you know, I've had people that have been training for 4 years now or coaching for 4 years now, which is awesome. And they're literally looking at me, they're like, dude, we just pay you every single month. We know we're really not getting much out of it anymore. We're just paying you because you deserve it because of all the value you gave us up front. I was like, that's awesome.
It also, you know, if something does arise or come up, then they know that, you know, they've got some priority with you, you know, hey, this happened, or we're experiencing this or whatever, you know, help us out. So I could see that. Yeah. And I think it's kind of cool the way that, you know, you kind of, you know, approached it with, you know, people, you know, just kind of sharing and being honest or whatever, how your business is growing. And then people saying, well, I want to do that. Right. And then you go like, okay, let's do it. Because then they're already interested. Right. You know, if you're like, hey, I can, you know, what do you want to do? I'm digging a hole over here and every, you know, third shovel full, I'm pulling out gold. Well, I want to do that. How do I do that? Well, come here and let me show you, you know, like it gets them more motivated to do it. Like you said, because I remember Rennie telling me, you know, a while back, you know, with his trainings is, you know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Right. So you can show them the world on how to do it, but when they go home, if they're not implementing it right, so you got to have them kind of interested in it. So that's, I think that's a really good way to get people interested in the business side. So how did the Urable thing come about? Because you mentioned earlier about, you know, now taking a full-time job with Urable, and then how does that affect, you know, Menards and everything? Obviously probably not much, because it doesn't sound like you do a whole lot anymore there anyways.
So. I mean, I'm still there. I still love to be there. They still need me, right? It's not like I'm 100% replaced. Over the last 2 years, I basically took off. I'm not saying I was retired, but it was like a micro retirement. I was doing things that I was loving. I was golfing almost every single day. I learned how to fly a plane, and I'm getting my pilot's license and fly planes now. Mm-hmm. I was focusing on, so backstory on that, for the last 2 years, my dad passed away when we were younger. So he was able to live basically a half life of a normal human. And what I came to realize fairly quickly, especially once I got married and now we have a kid on the way, was, hey, if I'm going to be a father, I need to start knocking out everything I've wanted to do in life now. So that way when the bucket list comes to hit, that, like, if I was unfortunate enough to get hit with cancer like my dad was and at an early age, I want to make sure that when my wife comes to me and says, hey, babe, we have 6 months to knock out the bucket list, I'm going to look at her straight in the eye and say, already done, babe. Like,
done. Yeah.
We already lived it. So that was kind of what happened over the last 2 years. I was just living the life that I truly wanted and traveling with my wife all the time and meeting awesome people and giving back and helping with charities and adopting and fostering dogs. Like, it was just a cool 2 years. So basically, with that, I was still doing the power move side, and Michael Abens, I was helping when Urable, I was like their third user that popped on board back in 2018 when I first started the business. So Urable came on board and they just so happened to be a local company out in Westchester, Pennsylvania. I'm out in Bucks County, so it's about an hour and a half away. So the first development, like, you know, I was close enough where they started asking me questions and be like, hey, how's the app doing for you guys? How's the software doing? How's the implementation? Like, what's going on? And I would just help them and with the development side of what Urable was. And then we got into these things called Your Stories that we brought to the table, and I helped them, you know, I started consulting for them. So we started doing these awesome documentaries around the States with local detail shops and hearing their story. So just like without the business side of it, is truly like the Joe Rogan experience, where you're actually sitting there and hearing about who this person is. A true deep dive. Like, I always brought the tears. We go deep. So it was just really cool. So I did that for a couple of years, and I just got to know the team. Like, the Abens are family to me, 100%. I tell Michael all the time how he's so much like my dad. I feel like my dad set Michael into my life to provide me with the guidance that I need. And So basically was doing that throughout the years with them and just helping them, you know, going to all the conferences with them and meeting all the cool people. And then Michael came to me in December of this past year, so 23, and said, hey, we got this national account position that's opening up, and to take responsibilities off Michael, because Michael was so, you know, he was retired for 4 months, yeah, and then his kids brought him back on board, like back into the workforce. The dude hasn't had a retirement, right? He went backwards. Like, he went back to the
yeah.
So yeah. He was like, well, we want
to. I mean, whatever. Listen, he's driving around in an R8 all over the country. Come on, like, you know.
it's below me right now. It's in my garage as we speak. So So, exactly. The dude's doing fine. So he bought his dream car. He was tracking. Like, he was having a blast. But his kids asked him, and it was so cool, like, that he was able to jump back in a single conversation with them. He was like, absolutely, let's do this, and let's do it for detailers. So I believe in the family so much. I'm basically a son to them. He's a stepdad to me. They're, you know, Chris and Kyle and now Taylor, they're siblings of mine. Like, I see them as a true family. So when he came up to this opportunity to me, I thought when he was calling me and said, hey, we have a national account management open up, I thought the next sentence was going to be, can you help me put some candidates together? Like, do you know anybody that might be able to take this over? And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, I'd be answer, of course. But it wasn't that. It was, hey, you know, we've, you know, the kids and I have compiled a list, and we can only choose one. Like, there's only one person on the list, and it's you. And we know you have a lot going on, but we'd love if you would take this opportunity with us. So I was like, it was the easiest yes to Alex I've ever sent in my life. If my wife was to ask me to marry her, that would have been the easiest yes. That was flipped around. But it was the easiest yes. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I took on that position with them. And in January, we got the ball rolling, and I've been going ever since. So that's why I've been traveling so much and haven't had weekends home, because I want to frontline and build as many relationships as I possibly can. So speaking with Rennie, I was just out with Rennie a couple times this year. I love that dude. He's awesome. We did a year story on him, and it's cool because now being in the industry, I mean, it hasn't been a long time, but we just build relationships. Like, I get to call on all of my friends, which I know you get to do too, doing these podcasts. Yeah. You build, you know, just like you and I are now, we're friends. So every time we see each other, it's just talking conversation. If a piece of business comes up, sure, let's talk about it, but it's not in like a I'm trying to sell you mentality.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, man. You know, it's just, you know, again, like you said, right? Like, it all just falls back into relationships. You build the relationships, and then the sales will pretty much kind of come from that. I mean, I look at, you know, whenever somebody tries to come and sell me on something, you know, and it's hard because a lot of times, like, yeah, I do want to try your, you know, your thingamabob or your doohickey or, you know, whatever, but it's like, you know, Davey P's my guy, you know, like, it's hard. It's hard for me not to use O'Burke, you know, Ian's my guy. Like, I don't know if I'm going to use a different towel. Like, you know, it is really hard because when you build those relationships with those people and you know, it's not just about a brand or a product anymore. It's the person, 100%. Right? Like, I'm not buying O'Burke, I'm buying Davey P, you know? And that's just extremely important to me. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, now then again, there are those people that are like, oh, new shiny thing. Let me get a new shiny thing, you know, or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, wait a second. You were just doing this for like the longest time. What happened? Ah, new shiny thing, you know?
I'm happy you said that, Alex, because, you know, part of what we do, I came to realize quickly, was that brand doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Like, nobody comes to, and I know you know this too, nobody comes into your shop because of the brands that you use.
Not a
one. It's because of who you are, and you choose the brands that you have because of people like Dave Patterson, who have an awesome, I mean, we love O'Burke too. The only reason we use O'Burke is because of Davey P, and it's an awesome product. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. But we, even this week we had a PPF distributor that came through our door, and we ended up moving we brought tin in house. So we ended up giving them our tin business, but all she's been asking is for our PPF business because we do a ton of it. I don't know. I've told her so many times, I said, I don't care what you do or what you say, there ain't a goddamn chance you'll ever get it. Cause I have too good of a relationship with John Clevin, like the dudes over at Stack. Yeah. Like, him and Benjamin are great friends of mine. And it'd be extremely difficult for me to go and tell them that I'm leaving because I'm going to save $300 in a car. That's messed up. Right. It's messed up. Like, that's a friend.
Exactly.
You know, that's friend. I'll spend an extra five. Don't, You might have to bleep this one out. I'll spend an extra five.
It's too late. I told you I don't edit nothing. No technical difficulties going on here.
But it's all relationship, and that's the thing. Like Alex, when Michael Abrams came to me, it was because of the relationship we had. It was the first time anyone's ever come to me, and I didn't have to go and chase something. Like I didn't have to go and fight for something, especially when it came to a job. It was the first time ever in my life that someone came to me and approached me with an opportunity like that. And so that's why I was like, absolutely, like if I'm that person, and I'm the only person that's on there. Like, what am I going to say? No. Like, how am I supposed to do that?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Especially so, when it's somebody so close to you, and obviously you have that, admiration for and respect for too. I mean, how do you say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Worst case scenario, you suck it up and do it for, you know, 6 months or something. And be like, hey, look, let's get somebody else in here. It's not for me.
I mean, he does have a clause in there, that little mofo that when I say little mofo, it's Michael, I can call him that, but the mofo that he literally says that either of us have at any time can leave. And he puts that on me and tells me that all the time. So if it was 6 months from now, hopefully he does, and hopefully I prove myself. But if it was 6 months from now, he does have that opportunity. But to answer your question, Alex, too, it's like, how do I manage it all, right? I have all these things going on, especially with the Urable side being a super heavy front for my time. It's a ton of time suck, but it requires a ton of time. And the answer, I have a great team on with all my companies, not just the detail shop, but same with the consulting sides when I brought my brother Nick on. Same thing with my real estate side. I have a team that manages that. Same thing with the detailing side. Obviously, I have a huge team there. But each team, it's like having multiple kids. They all still require attention. So I can't just I can't just go and leave one. So at all times, I'm always checking in every single day with every single person. Even though you're able, my current focus, it doesn't mean I've lost focus or attention or energy towards anything else. So I just manage my time really well. I just know how to do it.
Yeah, and again, kind of like what you said, you're just trying to front load the Urable thing right now because of, the kid coming soon or whatever. But I would imagine that, realistically, the Urable thing is more of a, remote, kind of phone call, for the most part. Right. I mean, like you said, you do want to get out there and you want to shake hands and, or like I like to say, kiss hands and shake babies, kind of thing.
100%.
Hey, look, it's me. I'm here. I'm just not making a phone call. I'm actually coming out to see you. But as the baby comes and that's going to, the kid's going to take more attention, at least for probably the first year, you can be a little bit more phone call-y versus hands-on.
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's why I gained so much success in my old job, though, was because every conversation, didn't matter if I had to drive 7 hours for a 30-minute meeting. Gene, my old boss, taught me that. And that's why I was able to gain so much success in that world, in the pharmaceutical world, is because every single meeting was in person. Unless I had to, obviously, there's times, but the majority of my meetings were always in person. It wasn't like I want to take phone calls or do Zooms or do conversations through email. But if it was ever a serious meeting, I would always try to do it in person if it would be able to happen. That's cool. But yeah, dude. Yeah, it's just I'm an in-person kind of guy. That's just how it is. Like I like shaking hands and kissing hands and doing whatever you want. Doing
hands whatever. And shaking babies. Yeah. Well, listen, man, let's do our last commercial break. We'll come back. Cool. We'll wrap it up with the three thinking questions. So get your thinking top on and then we'll wrap this up, man. We'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Fiber is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details.
Okay, so the thinking questions. I've changed these up. I don't know if you've listened to the newer episodes because I think I just started doing these at the beginning of this year, so there haven't been a ton of episodes with him. So the first one is the Groundhog Day question. So have you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray?
I have, but this is going to be a good one. Yeah.
He gets, he's stuck in Groundhog Day, has to live it over and over again. Even if he dies, he comes back the next day. But he does retain all of his memory from all of the days before, right? So like, that's kind of the thing. And, you know, you always wonder like, how long did it really take? So if you had eternity of the same day, and after you get past the point of wanting to kill yourself and you just accept the fate that you're just going to wake up every day, how do you better yourself? Whether it's, you know, picking up a new skill, you know, reading all the books that have ever been written, helping people out, even if it is really only for a day. What do you do with Groundhog Day?
One single thing, or it's like, what's my day?
Well, I mean, you have a day. So, I mean, I guess you know, you could, you know, break it up and do multiple things, but yeah.
I mean, the main focus of my day would be doing things that are important to me. And there's a lot of things that are important to me, but I'll just go through the day because I basically live it now. So let's launch it. If that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So I wake up, obviously, get in my shower, drink my coffee, kiss my wife, say hi to my dog, let the dog go poop, clean it up, throw it in the trash, head to the airport, go for an hour flight, land the damn thing, hopefully, put it away, go do jujitsu. So basically the first couple hours are focusing on myself and really important to myself, yoga, reading, whatever that might be. Then the next 8 hours is giving back. And that's going around. I try to every single day donate to something, might it be someone, monetary or my time, because that's really important to me, especially people that are in need. So that's the next 5-6 hours of that day is giving back to anybody that needs it. That could be just through a conversation or a hug. I like to hug. I'm a big hugger. Hugging brings a sense of, I guess, comfort to a lot of people, including myself. So hug as many people as I possibly can. Give a lot of high fives too. Those are always fun, especially the jumping ones. And then at night's for fun. So at night's the partying and reliving, not even just reliving, but giving yourself some time to celebrate your achievements of that day. The achievements of the morning of that 3 hours with your family and the extra hours of doing what I want to do. Those 5-6 hours of giving back, and then that last 3 to 4 hours of that day is pure celebration and celebrating everything that you did for that day with the people and friends that you love.
I like it. You're the first person to like actually break it down for a whole day. Everybody else so far, everybody else just, you know, wants to give back, give to somebody, do something for somebody. Which is awesome.
I made part of it. You got a party, dude. You got to drink some beers.
Come on. I'm still waiting for the somebody that's like, you know, I mean, Bill Murray like kind of took piano lessons every day and then became like a badass piano player. So like, I'm waiting for somebody to be like, you know, I'm going to sit down with the guitar every day and learn how to, you know, be Eddie Van Halen, or I'm going to, you know, read all the books that were ever written, or, you know, whatever. I like that answer, man. And that's the thing about these questions, right? Is everybody's answer is going to be different to them. Yeah. So jumping into the second one, and I already kind of have a feeling maybe I know where this one's going to go, but so it's the Back to the Future question. So you have access to the DeLorean, go anywhere in time, forwards, backwards. Where are you going? What do you want to see?
I'm putting my wife in the passenger seat. And I'm going back to my childhood with my dad. When my dad was around, we had just the whole family. Kind but wife and dog are going with me. Yeah, for that one. Yeah. But we'll go back. Yeah, pre-2000. I mean, he got sick in 2004. He's still awesome when he was sick. So yeah, I guess like 2003. We'll go back to, and because I want her to see both sides of it. Obviously the fun, and then obviously what I went through too. Because she doesn't understand. Like she doesn't understand some. You know, not just myself, my whole family. Like what we went through. But I want her to be able to meet my dad in the good times and also be able to see what it was like, you know, having a parent go through cancer and pass away. So get her on both sides.
Nice. Yeah. And then the last one is, what's your death row last meal?
Oh, dude, easy. Applebee's half price appetizer. We're going for some boneless wings. We're hitting it with some spinach artichoke dip. I'm gonna bring a couple bags of Flaming Hot Cheetos. And for the drink, it's either going to be a Guinness, and Arnold Palmer. I mean, This is my last drink. I haven't drank soda in 5 years, but Dr. Pepper, well, Mr. Pibb was the shit. So okay. I'll probably throw a 2 liter of Mr. Pibb in front of me with some crushed ice from Chipotle. Or, I mean, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A's got the best crushed ice ever. And yeah, launch it. Yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Well, that's it. That's a wrap. We'll see. You said you didn't like talking about yourself, man. You spent a whole hour talking about yourself.
I was forced.
Easy peasy, man.
Now I'm gonna go in my sauna and sweat it all out.
Yeah. Listen, I appreciate you doing this. I know this is kind of a last minute thing for my Friday guest kind of canceled out. So you were the first person that I was like, man, he's probably going to be way too busy last minute. But I do appreciate you having the time to do this. So before we go, if anybody wants to, get a hold of you and either, attend a training either with you or with your staff, or, wants to, learn about how to sell drugs legally, or whatever weird things that you're into.
The illegal side was one of my businesses too. So that was fun.
What's give everybody all your ats, where they can find you and get a hold of you.
I mean, Facebook's really great, just Grant Menard, and then email would be grant@youreable.com. For the training side of it with CarPro, you can go onto CarPro's page, and we have our actual in-house trainings there. We train for the coatings, we have advanced training in the paint protection film training too. We do all that through CarPro with Corey. And then for consulting, grant@powermovesconsulting.com, or just go to powermovesconsulting.com as well. You can kind of go on there, fill out the form, check it out.
Awesome, man. Well, listen, buddy, thanks again. Congrats on the new
job. Dude. Appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah, congrats on the new kid coming up in a few months. And I am going to we've already talked. I've got an idea, topic idea you already know about. I do want to move that forward. So if let's try and figure that out. If we gotta dump the other two. Since they're not participating.
I'll be back. Yeah. See, my Back to the Future was an hour ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Listen, man, you take care. Have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, sure. Alex. Appreciate it, brother. See you, dude.
Bye.
Yep, you got it.
All right, everybody. So that was Grant. What a cool guy, dude. I've heard so much about him over the years. And like I said, it's crazy. Like, we've just never kind of crossed paths for some reason, or maybe if we have, probably, just didn't notice each other or whatnot. So I'm glad that he jumped on and was able to knock out an episode tonight. So that's it. That's all I got. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening to the podcast. 5-star reviews would be excellent. Write something sweet and nice to me on Apple would be even cooler. Until next time. Please have a great day, night, week, whatever you're listening to this. Appreciate you. Take care.